College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And there is nothing like the changing of the guard in college basketball. Because this season, every season, has different segments. You have the non-conference portion of the schedule, you have conference play, you have championship week, and then you have March Madness in the NCAA tournament. And right now, this week, we are about to enter phase two. Conference play in college basketball. So we have to look right now as we get you set to digest, dissect, and offer your own perspective on conference play to tell you what you need to know. To me, the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 are a cut above every other league this year. I think the ACC, again, is in position to get 7 or 8 teams in the NCAA tournament. I think the SEC is in position to get half its league. That makes 7 teams in the NCAA tournament. And I think the Big 12 right now, top to bottom, 1 through 10, is as good of a league as I've seen in terms of the double round robin format. We have seen the double round robin obviously shine in the Big 12 in the past couple of years, but I think this year, when you consider just how good every team is, you know, at the bottom of the league, it's going to be a Big 12 season that we haven't seen before. And think about what the teams at the bottom of that conference have already done. Oklahoma State and Iowa State are expected to be the worst two teams in the Big 12. Iowa State's beaten a good Northern Iowa team on a neutral court. They've also beaten Iowa. And Oklahoma State is the only team this year to beat Florida State, which occurred a couple years ago in a neutral site game. Now, that gets you set pretty much for conference play in terms of the conferences to key in on. Look, I think the Big East is going to be terrific as well. I think the Big East obviously has more Final Four contenders than people are really acknowledging out of the gate, because I think you can put Xavier and Seton Hall in that class along with Villanova. But I see right now down years in the Big Ten, Pac-12, and the A-10, and that to me is going to open up opportunities for other leagues like the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12, potentially the American, to get more teams into the NCAA tournament. And I bring up the American because I want to talk about what's going on at UConn right now, because growing up as somebody in the Northeast, you know, you looked at UConn basketball as a staple of the sport. You looked at UConn basketball as a team that every year you knew was going to be in the mix to win a national championship. And for a long time they were. During Jim Calhoun's tenure at UConn from 1986 to 2012, they won 17 Big East championships and 3 national championships. And right now, this UConn downfall is something that's really uncharted territory for this program and really for us who cover the sport. UConn this year has lost to Arkansas and Auburn. Two teams, you know, very good in the SEC that should make a push for the NCAA tournament, but they've lost those two games by a combined 60 points. The Huskies right now are not putting people in the seats. The Huskies right now don't have the same caliber personnel as they did when they had guys like Ben Gordon, Ray Allen, Rip Hamilton, Rudy Gay. It is a different type of scenario. UConn 7-5. They're going to open American Conference play this week against Wichita State. The game will be on CBS. But I don't see a turnaround right now with this team, with this program this season. And the ironic thing to me is I look at the American Conference and I see three teams, Wichita State, Cincinnati, and SMU, that are locks for the NCAA tournament. And I see three others, Temple, Houston, and Central Florida, that could compete for a bid. For this league to get four or five teams in the NCAA tournament, it would be a remarkable breakthrough. But UConn, in my opinion, should be the flagship program of this conference, and it's not anymore. There's a lot of different reasons, but the biggest reason to me is just the personnel is not where it needs to be in terms of the standards that Jim Calhoun and this program expect from for the last 25 years. And right now, if you really want to look at UConn's issues, to me, they have nothing to show from their 2016 recruiting class. UConn, okay, in 2016, signed four players. Al-Tariq Gilbert, Juwan Durham, Vance Jackson, and Stephen Enoch. And they also signed Mamadou Diarra, who's in the program right now, and also Christian Vitale. But I look at those four players at the guys who committed early. Those four players right now are not active in the program. Three transferred, and then one other, Al-Tariq Gilbert, is injured, and nobody knows if he's going to come back. So they have nothing to show for that recruiting class other than Mamadou Diarra, who is a role player, and Christian Vitale. There's the equity that program looked like it had by signing that class early is over and done with. And now you're 7-5 going into a scenario where you got to play Wichita State in Wichita State's first ever game in the American Conference on Saturday afternoon. You got to go through this league, which is better than it's ever been, and you still have to play Villanova in a non-conference game on January 20th at home. Right now, UConn looks like a 500-type team overall. And we'll see as the adversity grows and grows how this team responds. Bobby Hurley is somebody who yearns for adversity. He's always been his best with his back against the wall. He is by far the early favorite for National Coach of the Year in college basketball. And as Arizona State gets set to begin Pac-12 play Saturday in Tucson against Arizona, we will find out the state of the Sun Devils when Bobby Hurley, the aforementioned head coach, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Arizona State is the main story right now out of the gates this college basketball season. Sun Devils have beaten Xavier, have won at Kansas. They are 12-0 entering Pac-12 play, which will begin Saturday night in Tucson against Arizona. And the head coach of the Sun Devils is Bobby Hurley. He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Coach Hurley, I know that you had high expectations for your team in the preseason. Have you exceeded those with the 12-0 start?
Well, I mean, it's hard to do any better, really, or realistically, ask for much more than what the guys have done to this point. And, when you look at the schedule and you're playing some elite programs and on neutral site and on the road and to play as well as we played, in those big games, those key matchups with, Xavier and Kansas, it's exciting to see. And, I think there's room for us to grow and get better as a team as we, get Mickey Mitchell more comfortable and Kamani Lawrence gets back in the mix. So it's exciting not only what we've been able to do, but, just the prospects of the future here for this season.
Everybody obviously that knows your history knows that you had unbelievable success as a player at Duke, but I'm curious, how has the joy you've experienced so far the last 2 months as a head coach compared to the joy you really experienced as a player in the early 90s?
Well, I mean, you put a lot of work in, John, and it's like, you take over a program and you see how hard guys like Trey Holder, Cody Justice, and then, the trust of Shannon Evans to come with me from Buffalo and leave a very good situation where he was, one of the best players in the conference as a sophomore. And so to see those guys having gone through, some dark times, some tough years, and, they've persevered, they've worked at it, they've improved, and then they've carried guys along with them. They've set an amazing example of, how to work and what it's like to be a winner. So it's as a coach, it's not a player's perspective because it's a little more selfless and you're responsible for a group of people. And it's great, watching the development of the players in the program and to see those guys having the success they're having is terrific.
Now, you had a couple of big wins your first year at Arizona State, but this is the first time, really, since you've been a head coach at the high major level, that your program is nationally relevant. What was it like not to be nationally relevant for somebody who spent so much of his playing career in the spotlight?
Well, I mean, it's more of, you know, just striving to get to the point where we're, you know, an NCAA tournament team, and, you know, it wasn't enjoyable to not have the level of success that you maybe would want to have right away. And, but you go through those times, you fight through them, you get tougher because of, going through some hard times. And, I believe that, these seniors in particular are so determined to win, and they expect to win, and they believe in themselves. And it's been a process of going through, again, some hard losses over the last 2 years. And they've made a strong statement that we're going to have a chance to win every game we play.
What's harder to deal with, adversity or success?
Adversity just kind of eats away at you. The losing, the tough losses, the not doing as well as you want to do in that moment. So kind of dragging yourself out of that, getting yourself to a point where your program, believes it could compete, at a very high level. And, it starts with the seniors, with the guys I talked about, Trey Holder, Cody Justice, Shannon Evans. But, it's trickling down, to other guys. And, they're understanding, what it takes to win games, and how you go about your business and practice and the carryover effect that has on winning.
Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Sun Devils 12-0 going into Saturday's showdown in Tucson against Arizona. Now, Bob, your kitchen cabinet right now is at a completely different level than most coaches. You learned under your brother Dan for a couple years as an assistant, your father Bob Senior's in the Hall of Fame, and you also played for the winningest coach in college basketball history, and Mike Krzyzewski. And I know from hearing Coach K speak and interviewing him how much he loved you and wanted to be you as a player. What has the dialogue been like during this really revival of Arizona State basketball been like between Mike Krzyzewski and Bobby Hurley?
Well, it was a great moment for us and this program and a statement of how far we've come when you go to a place like Kansas, and win a game of that magnitude where, Kansas is in the top five and you're undefeated and it's your first true road game. So, it was special to win that game in that place with the history of that program and to be on that bus ride heading to the airport after and getting a call from, my brother Dan first and getting a chance to talk to him because he's been as key to my successes as anyone with all I learned from him, over the years I spent as an assistant coach. And then the other call I got on the bus was Coach K, and it was just, it was great to hear him, say that he had watched the game and he was so excited, for me. And any time that, he gives you a compliment, you feel like you've earned it, and he's meant a lot to me. So it was special to get a chance to talk to him.
Now, obviously when people talk about Coach K's greatness, they're going to talk about the 3 gold medals in the Olympics or the 5 national championships, 2 in which you were part of. But do you have almost more respect for him right now because he's gotten everybody's best shot for all these years? I mean, he has been what you are right now in terms of your national ranking and national attention for, roughly 30 years. I mean, do you almost have more respect for him now because of what you've had to go through the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, you just see, that you could be under more of a microscope and people are talking about you, and which is great. And it's all positive and you'd prefer it that way than no one talking about you, certainly. But yeah, I mean, I lived it as a player playing for him. Just again, the microscope that you're under at a place like Duke and everyone wants to beat you. They want to take what you have, and the fact that he's been able to sustain that type of success over this period of time is it's scary, how good he's been.
Well, you know, you played for the winningest coach of all time. You know, your father's in the Hall of Fame, and your brother Dan, you know, has the best team in the Atlantic 10 and the team that almost made the Sweet 16 last year at Rhode Island. How are you like those three figures as a coach, and how do you think you're different?
Well, I mean, I've tried to, and I'm sure just by the time you spend with people, you learn from them and you pick up things and that help you become who you are as a coach. And, you know, I've talked about this. My dad is so competitive. There isn't anyone that you know, wanted to win as bad as he did. And, you know, we kind of lived that every day in our house. You know, our practices were competitive, our workouts. You know, when St. Anthony played and they didn't win, it was, you know, it was like a funeral in our house for days, you know. So you appreciate, you know, how to attack and go after winning. I think with Dan, he and I share similar beliefs. So it was really great to get a chance to see how he ran his program and how his messaging was to his team. And I picked up a lot there. Probably 60% of our drills that we run here at Arizona State are drills that I learned from coaching under Dan. And so he was huge. And then Coach K is just, you know, just amazing and motivating, and also getting through to his players and building relationship with his players. And, you know, guys want to play for him, and he gives his team freedom, you know, to play. And that was always something that I appreciated. And that's why, you know, my guards put the work in, and they're high level guards, and I kind of give them a lot of freedom out there to make plays.
Well, and that's really what shows when you watch your team is the confidence that your players play with. And it almost looks like, you know, you are passing along the confidence that you played with as a player onto guys like Trey Holder, Shannon Evans, and Cody Justice. You know, it's interesting, Bob, when you first got back into college basketball, I remember, you know, I did an interview with you, your brother, and your father, and you spent a lot of time talking about the years that you spent away from the sport after you played in the NBA and you did some other things. Now that you've experienced what you've went through the last 2 months, can you ever imagine a situation which you didn't come back to the game that really made you who you are?
I mean, over the last several years, every year has been kind of rewarding in some way. And, you know, even the last 2 years prior to the success we've had to go through some hard times with guys that you care about, that you work with every day, it gets you closer to building, you know, a relationship with your players that carries over. And, you know, it's been on a way more positive side now. And it's just been a blessing to see, you know, how those guys have developed and gotten better and are playing at a such a high level, and Trey, Shannon, and Cody. So, yeah, I mean, I think that I'm as happy as I've ever been and doing something that I'm fortunately, you know, blessed to have an opportunity to do and have a passion for it. And, you know, and then just seeing new guys that I'm bringing into the program, you know, like guys like Remy Martin and Romello White and Kamani Lawrence, Mickey Mitchell, and seeing what I'm starting to build with them. And it's, you know, it's something I look forward to doing for a long time here.
Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Sun Devils 12-0 going into Saturday's game at Arizona. Now, you told me, I remember, at Buffalo when you had a chance to coach against Wisconsin and Kentucky in the same month, the year that both went to the Final Four. You got such a rush out of coaching in big games and big atmospheres, and you may not coach in another atmosphere at the level that you're going to coach on Saturday night against Arizona. They're undefeated with Rolly Hawkins back in the lineup. You're undefeated. You've made Arizona State a national story. Where does Saturday's game rank in terms of the biggest game that Bobby Hurley has ever coached in?
Well, I think I've had a few. John, the MAC championship, you know, playing, and we had conversations going into that game. Our RPI was around 30. And you told me that we would have a very difficult time getting in, even with that RPI. So when you're playing for your season and all the work that those kids put in, and you know you have to win that conference championship game to get to the NCAA tournament, you know, I feel like that was as big a game as I've coached. Now here at Arizona State, it's you know, the Kansas game was such a thrill to watch our players play at that level against such a good opponent, you know, in one of the toughest places to play. So I'm glad that we had that experience. Hopefully we could draw from that and use it in a positive way on Saturday. But certainly Arizona, like I knew they would, has gotten things together, you know, after the Bahamas. And, you know, they've had some quality wins, like you mentioned there. You know, the getting Hawkins back is huge for them. So I'm glad that the game is as big as it is. You know, I'm glad that we did our part in making it a big game. And the rivalry will add, an additional flavor to it, as will, you know, kicking off Pac-12 play. Everyone wants to get off to a great start in the conference.
And there's a fascinating chess match in this game as well, because Arizona, as we know, is a massive team, a team that looks like an NBA team when they go through an airport. They've got 2 7-footers in the starting lineup. You have made Arizona State speedball. Guard you call it. There's T-shirts made up. How interesting is the dynamic going to be as you try to win with speed and Arizona tries to win with size?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, it's a contrast of style, and you know, they have elite front court play, and you know, one of the best players in the country in Eitan, and you know, their wings are you know, Triers is a Pac-12 player of the year candidate, and Hawkins has come back and hasn't missed a beat. Ristich gives them, you know, another post presence. So yeah, it's We'll throw it inside, and we do score at the rim. We do it a little different than Arizona does. But you know, we're going to try and be who we are, and you know, again, we're trying to attack the moment, and you know, just play our style of basketball, and we'll see what happens.
You know, you mentioned when we first started this chat about, you know, other pieces emerging. You know, Mickey Mitchell, you mentioned, who I loved when I saw, you know, preseason practice in Tempe in October. And you also mentioned Kamani Lawrence, who is yet to play this year. How is his recovery from injury, and what is his status looking like for Saturday?
Yeah, Kamani was doing all non-contact drills and pain-free and progressing, you know, as best as we could have expected. And we had a couple of day break for Christmas, and I'm going to be out on the court this afternoon with the guys, and we'll, you know, have a, we'll have 4 days to get ready, and we'll see, you know, where Kamani's at, and we'll make a decision on him. But, you know, I'm loving what I'm seeing also from Mickey Mitchell right now. He's everything that I hoped he would be, in the games that we've had him back, just with his toughness and his all-around play. He really, you know, I think that we attack and we have playmakers, and we could show our toughness in different ways. But Mickey, you know, just gives us another hard-nosed player that I think we really need, and a guy that's going to help us around the paint and with his rebounding abilities.
Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Sun Devils at Arizona Saturday night in what I think is the game during the first few days of conference play. You know, Bob, you've made Arizona State nationally relevant, and I'm just curious, when that happens at a program that isn't synonymous with college basketball, how is the feeling of having your face and your name attached to a non-blue blood compare to maybe joining something that's, you know, a little bit more established, like you did when you were a player going to Duke in the late 80s?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen programs that have developed and grown, and I hope that's what's going to happen here at Arizona State. I think there's, tremendous enthusiasm, you know, from our fan base, just, you know, walking around town and, you know, people just saying that they love watching the team, that they are such a fun team to watch, that they can't wait to the next game. And it's just, you know, I've never experienced that here. So it's been a fun couple of weeks. You know, our students are turning out like they haven't turned out before. So, you know, we've done our part. You know, I think we got to continue to do it. It's early in the season, but just really excited about how great the people, you know, in this community have been to me and our program.
Well, and it kind of reminds me, and you know this person well, what Tommy Amaker did at Harvard, obviously at a lower level, but I know Tommy was an assistant when you were a player at Duke, and he really transformed Harvard into a basketball school and was able to sell that and continues to sell it. Have you had any discussions with him about just the branding that goes along with making a non-traditional power relevant?
Not particularly on that, and you know, that would be a great idea to do that at some point as I'm experiencing this really for the first time. But I think in terms of the branding, and I think not only because we're undefeated, John, but I think because the way we play and, you know, the free-flowing style and the fact that we, you know, we hit the threes and we could also attack off the dribble and, you know, we're playing an up-tempo style, that helps, you know, the whole branding process of what we're doing. And, you know, we hope that this is a place that kids are going to want to come and play because of the exciting style and we're scoring a lot of points and we're an up-tempo team. So those things are all very attractive, and we hope that that'll, you know, pay some dividends too in recruiting down the road.
Well, I'm going to wrap it up with this. You know, it's obvious, you know, how much your pedigree, your name is associated with because of your family and what you did as a player. But right now, Arizona State is your program. People think Arizona State basketball, they think Bobby Hurley. Are you okay with it if that's the way it is for the rest of your career and this is the place that you put on the map and you never coach anywhere else?
I think that I could be, you know, a very loyal guy and I think that this is a place that I could, you know, very well see myself for a long time. And it's a great conference. School is terrific. You know, my daughter goes to school here now. She loves it. You know, my wife and I love the area, love living here. So it's it has everything I'm looking for. We just I'm sure we'll get together, you know, with our administrators and work on, you know, making that happen for a long time.
Well, Bob, looking forward to Saturday. Again, it's as big of a game as I can remember at the start of conference play. Congrats on a great start. Have a good week of practice, and talk to you down the road.
I appreciate it, John. Thanks, man.
We'd like to thank Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley for joining the College Hoops Today podcast. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And now that we got you set up with Geico, it is time for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Larry, and it's, John, is there any upside for the St. John's Red Storm in the Big East? And Larry, I will be in attendance Thursday night in Queens when St. John's kicks off the Big East against Providence. I've been encouraged with what I've seen with St. John's in the non-conference portion of the schedule, especially defensively with guys like Justin Simon and Tariq Owens. But for me to take St. John's seriously as a team that could finish in the top five or six of this conference, the Red Storm need to get Marcus Levet back. They've been a little bit too loose in certain situations offensively for my liking. Getting Levet back healthy is critical for St. John's. Our next question is going to come from Josh Harris, and it's, John, can Auburn make the NCAA tournament? I think Auburn right now has put themselves in position to be a middle-of-the-pack SEC team, and that puts you in position to be in the NCAA tournament. I'm just curious about this, and Bruce Pearl has done a remarkable job this year at Auburn without D'Angelo Purifoy and Austin Wiley, who are suspended indefinitely. My question is this. Auburn does not have a player in its rotation over 6'8". They almost look like a mid-major team on steroids with their length, their quickness, their athleticism. What happens when you play A&M? What happens when you play Alabama and Kentucky? How do you withstand that type of size in the SEC, and will you get worn down? And now that we've got you set with your social media needs, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, more than a man, and that would be Oklahoma freshman Trae Young. You want a nugget? How about this nugget? Young so far this season, 114 total assists. UConn as a team has 112. Nugget number two, fear from Fayetteville. How about Arkansas this season at Bud Walton Arena? In six games, the Razorbacks averaging 95 points at home. SEC teams better take note. Nugget number three, a thing of beauty. That is Virginia's defense. The Cavaliers holding 10 of their first 12 opponents to 60 points or less. Six of those opponents have scored less than 50. This is, again, an ACC contender. Better than the record, I'm talking about Illinois. Brad Underwood's club, 9-5 after Saturday's win over Missouri in the bragging rights game. You know, I've watched this team a couple of times. Blew games late against Northwestern, Maryland, and New Mexico State. If they can hold tied in January, Underwood's teams at Stephen F. Austin, Oklahoma State, have always played really well in February. And nugget number five, War Eagle. We're talking about Auburn again. Auburn off to its best start since 99-2000. And again, no player in the rotation over 6'8". Now, let's get to some games to watch.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Three good ones on Wednesday. UCF at SMU. No B.J. Taylor in that game. Still pert. Johnny Dawkins. Nevada at Fresno State in the Mountain West. Xavier travels to Marquette. Should be a lot of offense in that one. And then Thursday night, two more from the Big East. Creighton at Seton Hall and Providence at St. John's. Would like to thank Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.